from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're damn right we start now. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Get involved with the program by texting.
I like when you say you're damn Skippy.
I love it. It's one of my favorite things to say. Shout out to, Malcolm and Eddie back UPN.
That's
back
an
in the
old
day.
Ted Johnsonism. He loved
Ted Johnson.
Oh, Ted Johnson also said that?
Yes, right. He loved that.
Well, I got it from UPN, so okay. I hope that that's okay. You guys get involved. 713-572-4610. It is Cut Down Day.
Yes, it is.
Here on Sports Radio 610, we are anxiously awaiting the fully realized 53-man roster for your Houston Texans, and as of right now, we know a few cuts, like minimal. Mm-hmm. Obviously, some of them one or two we got yesterday. Are you at all surprised that we don't have more of these known, at least publicly?
Well,
for
us? They keep a tight vault over there at NRG Stadium, one of the tightest in the league. But yes, I am, to answer your question, because it's not just them; it's agents that try to get their clients' names out there. So I actually believe we're going to get a bunch here. That's not to be self-serving or try to get people to stay listening. I think over the next 5 hours, we're going to hear a bunch. Pretty significant one just before we came on air.
Yes, C.J. Henderson, in that cornerback room that I know I have a lot of questions about. He is going to be one of those guys that ultimately gets cut in addition to Troy Pride Jr. We mentioned yesterday, Dieter Iselin. I wanted to make sure I say that correctly because I look at it, my eyes cross. just a lot of vowels in that name. I mean, no disrespect to Dieter. I just want to be very clear that this is all about me. Yeah. Obviously, McTelvin Aguim, we knew was going to be out of there. A few other guys, Fildarius Payne was waived in with the injury. Tyreek Barnes, Jacob Phillips. And also, as mentioned by Sean Pendergast, I went ahead and just combined their names.
That's okay.
Sean Pendergast just moments ago, Tegan Quatoriano also. Mm-hmm. So those are the names that we know right now. So many more to go. Obviously, we want to try and handle this with a modicum of class because, you know, folks are losing the gig right now. And, always want to be respectful there. So. Yeah. But like you mentioned, cut down, the official time where you have to be cut down to 53 men is 3 p.m. Central Time. So we take you till 2. There's a lot of work to be done in these next 4 hours. We got you covered here, Sports Radio 610. But starting out, there's a lot of things that we're talking about the Texans should do when it comes to cuts. We're all amateur GMs, and we have our ideas of what should be done.
Yeah.
What can the Texans absolutely not do with this roster cut down? Again, 713-572-4610. We're also on the Odyssey app, youtube.com/sportsradio610 and twitch.tv/610Houston.
Yeah, look, these are our thoughts. But we've been around this team. I know we have certain interests in this team, watching this team work, watching how certain things are developing, one of which was yesterday when it comes to quarterback, and that's where I'm going to start. Like, things you just cannot do when it comes to putting together your 53, and I'm interested if you and Figgy agree or disagree. I'm at the point now where you cannot have three quarterbacks. You can't keep three quarterbacks. That roster spot, that extra roster spot, is just too valuable. So, Case Keenum, what do you do there? Obviously they've got two quarterbacks. They got a backup they believe in, but at the same time, I don't feel like you have to have a third quarterback. And obviously, there's going to be an emergency situation potentially.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like you have to, because if you get to the third quarterback, you're in trouble anyway. So it doesn't matter if it's Tim Boyle, Case Keenum. I think you have to be at a place right now where the Texans can only keep two quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I mean, it gets a little dicey, as we know, with the NFLPA vetoing the NFL's like tweet on the emergency quarterback rule, the elevation rule, previously, or the way that they had tried to get the rule to work for this upcoming season was that you could have a quarterback on your practice squad that you could elevate every game to be the emergency third quarterback, which means you'd free up that 53-man roster spot all the way throughout the season. Now, it reverts to what it was previously at, which is you can have that quarterback on the practice squad, but they can only have those three elevations just like I think any other player on the practice squad.
Man.
And so that means you can have three games where you have that coverage, and then you either have to get a different quarterback or have that quarterback back stashed on the 53-man roster in order, even if they're not on actively dressed out on game day or active on game day, they would still have to be on the 53-man roster. At the very least, it feels like you have a practice squad. Yeah, you can't carry a quarterback on the 53-man to start with. If you find yourself in a situation where later in the season you have some concerns,
then you can deal with it.
Find a spot for that player to be there, or you know, if you are real nasty with yours, and I say that with all due respect, you find a different quarterback that you feel comfortable, put a stashing on that that practice squad so that you can reset that three game lift. But yeah, it you just can't. You need to find spaces, and you have two guys that are really capable. Obviously, CJ Stroud is more than capable, and we'll talk more about that because people believe that he's capable of literally the highest honor for an individual player in the NFL. But you have that. Davis Mills, I think we've gotten comfortable with the idea that if he needs to step in for a game or two, you're good, right?
Yeah, I think Case Keenum kind of stated that case, no pun intended, on Saturday, that Mills would be more consistent at this point in their respective careers. So you can only keep two quarterbacks. I don't see how they can do anything other than that. Here's the other one, and I've been looking at all these mock 53-man rosters. We played around with it a little bit ourselves yesterday. And most of the mock 53-man rosters, the cutdown, predictions, have six wide receivers that the Texans keep. Yeah. Almost exclusively. I don't remember one that didn't have more than six. I disagree. I think they're going to have seven wide receivers, and there's a reason for that. And that is, especially with the new kickoff rules, you got, you know, more sleek, for lack of a better term, athletes on the kickoffs. You're not going to have as many big bodies. I think you can get away with that. I think you're going to have a wide receiver here in Steven Sims that they have a lot of confidence in. So I think they're going to have seven wide receivers. Here's what you cannot do. You can't keep Damian Pierce in lieu of that seventh wide receiver.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because like Damian Pierce, at best, even if they like him, and they're all about like what they've seen in practice, not the games, as D'Amico has said, he's going to be your, at best, third running back. Well, man, I think there's a lot more value at wide receiver, especially when you have Steven Sims, who they have a lot of confidence in as a kicker. So you're going to have maybe four running backs. One of them presumably is going to be Damian Pierce, but don't do it at the expense of another wide receiver.
And this is what I get what you're saying, and I think you're probably right. The problem is with my brain, there's some things that you just kind of know are the case, and you find a way to maybe not rationalize, but become comfortable with. In fact, like there was a couple days ago where we were talking about the idea that we live in a surveillance state, right?
Yeah.
Like, and somebody got on the text line and was like, yo, the fact that you guys are comfortable with that is the problem. And I was like, I'm not comfortable with that, but it's one of those things where you know it's the case and you have to find a way to exist with it. Otherwise, you'll drive yourself mad.
Exactly.
And I feel like the Damian Pierce saga has gotten to that place where I'm trying not to drive myself mad because this is where I will use one of those therapy words that everybody uses a whole bunch, but I feel like I'm using it correctly. Text me and tell me if I'm using it wrong or what have you. I feel like I'm being gaslit by this organization in some ways.
I don't think you're wrong.
Right?
I don't think you're wrong. It just makes too much sense to not see things the way they're saying that they see things.
Right.
We love Damian Pierce. We've seen him in practice. Games matter, but we don't care. We like him in practice. I've made the decision. I've seen enough, is what D'Amico said. And I'm like, are you pulling our string here? Which is the old-fashioned way of saying being gaslit.
There you go. All right. Yeah.
Are you pulling our string?
Because, again, it doesn't feel like what we've seen on the field. And, of course, 8 carries, 9 yards. We all know the statistic at this point when it comes to Damian Pierce's production in preseason games.
Yeah.
We're being told in practices, I guess in theory, it looks better for D'Amico Ryans. And to be fair, it has looked better than 8 carries, 9 yards.
Well, it has that.
Right? That's for certain. But like, how confident are you that in those game situations further on? Because it's not just the game situations of the preseason. It was the game situations of last year, too, where he was not as effective, nearly as effective, in fact, as what you want. I think that I might disagree with you on one point, and I think, again, this might just be my brain finding a way to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Him as the third running back, it doesn't necessarily fit as much as possible, but I feel like the morale, all of these things are worth it. And when it comes to wide receiver, keeping seven would be cool. I don't know that it's as necessary to the point.
Oh, no, now, I'm on an island on that. But I feel like they can't use, they can't keep Dameon Pierce at the expense of a very valuable asset.
I feel like that that's a strong take.
Yeah.
I think that it's valid. I just don't know if I can get to that point on that's something that they absolutely cannot do when they cut this thing down at 3 p.m. today.
Yeah, but, you know, if you can't quit Dameon Pierce, don't do it at the expense of something that's going to hurt your squad.
Sure.
You can keep him, you know, but make sure you've got the seven wide receivers. You got fullback covered. You got, you know, you got a DB that you're confident, because it could be all over the field, you know, but don't do it at the expense of something like that. The third thing that I think the Texans cannot do, and I fully recognize that this is something that you and Figgy might totally disagree with, but you talk about a 180 for a player. I don't think you can trade John Metchie. You know, he's been mentioned, rumored, as some teams having interest in him. But we've now seen what we haven't seen before. We know there's an upside there. We've seen the upside in back-to-back games. Maybe it's the bizarro Dameon Pierce. Maybe what he's done in the games doesn't matter. And it's the exact identical thing to Dameon Pierce. Maybe they've seen enough in practice where they don't care what he's done in games, that they might have to move him or move on from him or whatever. We've also seen him dabble in special teams, which might be a sign that they're considering keeping him, you know, and finding another sort of role for him as well, you know. So I don't think you can trade John Metchie.
I don't think I'm solid on that one either. I would prefer that they keep him, right? Obviously, I can start with just the good story, right, of this guy who's battled back from dealing with cancer, getting himself back to playing, you know, playing shape and playing at the standard that he wants for himself. I think that you look at the wide receiver room and you've got it really strong to the point where I don't know that I can parse outside of your top three that this guy over this guy is like far and away better. Now, there are the concerns of, okay, do certain dudes have injury issues? Hello, Noah Brown, that you want to stick away from. Are some guys consistently there and doing what's necessary and add a particular element of speed? Hello, Xavier Hutchinson, that you've seen. So I would like him to be there, but I think there are definitely still permutations of this wide receiver room where John Metchie gets traded, and I'm not super.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're upset.
Oh, none of these would surprise me. I just feel, you know where Noah Brown's ceiling is. You know where Robert Woods' ceiling is.
That is true.
And Robert Woods' ceiling might be well behind him. You know, so you don't know, based on what we've seen on John Metchie in recent weeks, what his ceiling is. But you know there's something there. And so that's why I'm like, I'd rather take the risk on an upside, especially because he's your fifth back, your fifth receiver. You know, he's probably fifth or sixth, you know, and maybe see what you can do there and use him on special teams, which, you know, I know Noah Brown's done some special teams. I don't know about Robert Woods.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's where you can find some value there and some versatility.
And worthwhile. We talked about the idea of the Mechie rumors, right, that came from Jordan Schultz. I think that was, what, yesterday?
Yeah.
These days are already running together when it comes to getting to this 53-man cutdown. We also got some kind of rumors out there. And again, I don't know how far we can substantiate this, but the idea that the Steelers are interested in Robert Woods. And so you're getting you're getting some ideas that there's teams around the league that are willing to give up something to get some of your wideouts.
Yeah. And speak of the devil in terms of the position, Aaron Wilson now reporting the Texans are releasing wide receiver Ben Skoranek.
Yeah.
And so Ben Skoranek, as well as the rumor with Robert Woods perhaps being traded, you know, maybe we're getting a little bit of a focus on that wide receiver room. No John Metchie news yet as well. So we'll see.
Yeah. But I think that you're right on the idea that, look, Metchie is definitely showing a level of upside that I don't know that you have any more upside to look for with Robert Woods,
right,
with Noah Brown. But there is something to be also said that you haven't seen that definitive production just yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the idea is if you're talking about these backups, maybe that's not too scary of a proposition, but you're also a team that has high aspirations, and knowing that having some depth and someone on that depth in the wide receiver room that you can call on, you know exactly what you're getting out of them as opposed to we're projecting, I think still matters in some ways.
No, what you just said is the best counterpoint to my point. And I totally acknowledge that. Like, you're not in the business of potential at this point. You know, you're in the business of...
In some ways, but...
I mean, yeah, in some ways, but I'm like, if we're going to win, we're going to win now.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the business of winning now. Robert Woods and Noah Brown can probably help you win now based on their production and their recent, you know, seasons of production, more so than two preseason games of John Mechie.
Right. And I feel like the balance is you have enough room within a wide receiver room to get a little bit of projection with a little bit of consistency or known production.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a line that they could, you know, manage to straddle in some ways. But again, I think that this is where you are dealing with some luxury as a Texans team. I look at this wide receiver room, and there's not many ways that you can cut it where I'll be upset with the numbers that or with the folks that you end up with.
Yeah.
You know?
It's fantastic that we're talking about the fifth and sixth wide receiver.
Right.
I mean, that's where we are as in terms of following this team. So it's really, really good that that we're there. But it is something that could be important. Week 9, week 10, whatever. You know, all of a sudden somebody's down. Are you going to rely on John Metchie? Are you going to rely on Robert Woods? Who do you feel more comfortable with at that point? That's the question.
How about this one as kind of a real quick last absolutely cannot do without or with on this roster cut down day for the Texans? I feel like the Texans can absolutely not end up with a 53-man roster without finding an outside player to add to this team.
An outside player as in?
A player from outside of this team's camp.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Like, I feel like there's a few spots where you could stand to bolster the depth by finding a player who maybe couldn't make another roster and adding to him. Defensively, the two positions I'm thinking about, possibly linebacker and then cornerback in particular, I'm like, I feel like there could be some help there from outside, because I mean, we know that CJ Henderson just got cut or will be cut today.
Yeah.
And I'm still not certain. Jeff Okuda didn't do very much when it because of injury during the course of this. Those are the two names that you came into camp looking at where you go, hey, they have an opportunity to grab hold of those depth cornerback spots on your roster. There's a lot of questions for me in some of those.
Yeah, places. No, I'm with you on that. Keep an eye out for cornerback, linebacker, and I wouldn't be surprised running back. I mean, you don't know. You know, maybe that this has all been a ruse, and they're trying to shop Dameon Pierce. They get some taker in a different type of offense. All of a sudden, you know, they got Cam Akers and Joe Mixon. They feel pretty good, but there might be another running back out there. You know, that could bolster what they have here other than the rookies.
And running back is absolutely one of those positions where, you know, it's not really a respecter of necessarily like draft position or name or status. Just like in fantasy football, like it feels like every year you find a running back that pops up out of nowhere that ends up being more than, you know, serviceable.
Yeah.
And it feels like that's something that you could possibly do as well. So I like what you're doing there, John. There you go. Some of the things that we in the loop believe that the Texans should absolutely not do with this roster cut down. Cut down time, 3 p.m. today. And you'll have everything when it comes to that right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, in regards to roster cut down, let's make this a little bit more personal, with all due respect. Let's play a little either or. What would you do if it came down to one of these players versus another of these players? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yes, sir. In the loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez. You got Figgy Fig. You got myself, Reginald Atitula. And you rolling with us on a Tuesday, a cut down Tuesday. I was about to say the Metroplex. You got me. That's another dollar in the jar.
Another dollar.
Boy, that first paycheck about to be light, baby, in Houston, Texas. That's right. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Sports Radio 610, 713-572-4610 is the text line. You also got us on the Odyssey app, on the YouTube, on Twitch. A lot of ways to get involved with the program.
Hey, the YouTube is lightweight shaking right
now. Popping.
Yeah, man.
Popping.
It's up.
Holy moly.
Shout out to Wesley Woolsey who said, bro, stop with the Dallas stuff. I'm not doing it on purpose. I promise. I'm not doing it on purpose. I'm happy to be here, but sometimes.
Popular on YouTube right now.
Sometimes that you get into routines and they keep forgetting about the multi-year situation for the contracts, because we were just talking about the idea of what can you absolutely not do for these Texans on the roster cut down day. You mentioned the idea of this team absolutely cannot trade a John Mechie, and I was like, I don't know. That feels like something where I'm not definitive on, but on the text line from the 936, they made a good point, the idea that, hey, man, Stephon Diggs could be gone this next season, and so having another guy who has multiple years or at least another year left on their deal could be helpful. Robert Woods would also be available to be a free agent next year if he does not ultimately get traded or cut. Obviously, your starters are still there, but Steven Sims would be open to be a free agent, right? Like there's some situations where Hutchinson is still under contract, but I forgot about those contract implications. You are fair. You're absolutely fine there. And then, well, that's cool. It was something else, but we'll remember. It's a Texas cut down day. The most important thing is that we're trying to get this roster down to 53. Aaron Wilson letting us know that the Texans are releasing veteran tackle David Sharp.
Oh, man.
With the plan to sign him back to the practice squad, though. So, like, that's number one on the practice squad, David Sharp. Let's start. Are you keeping a running tab of who's going to end up on the practice chart?
No, but I am keeping a kind of loosely running tab on veterans. David Sharp is a veteran. Tegan Quatoriano, if he ends up on the practice squad, is a veteran. You can only keep six. You only keep six veterans on the practice squad. So that's what you kind of loosely got to keep an eye on that.
And is it possible that you have to have one of those spots ready for a quarterback
as
well?
That's where I'm going with it. Yeah, that's where I'm going
with it. Very good. A lot of roster talk today. But let's start with this one in particular. We're going I think John's going to put us on the spot, Figgy, here.
I'm put myself on the spot.
All right. We all going to be on the spot together in the loop here.
Yeah.
Either or.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's some cut down decisions that D'Amico Ryans, Nick Caserio, the Brain Trust have to make.
Yep.
And it seems like they're not going to be easy ones, right? Let these guys tell it, right? They talking about how there's going to be some difficult decisions, and they really didn't, at least not publicly, make these decisions until today. We're starting to really get some of these names dropped when you have to get them in the next, 5 hours, pretty much, less than 5 hours, in fact. So let's put ourselves in that place with at least a few of these spots.
Let's get in front of the whiteboard. They got all the names on the whiteboard. Ultimately, you get to the bottom of that whiteboard, 50 to 55 or 60. You got to go this guy or that guy. All right, and it's going to come down to this guy or that guy.
And we doing this from our personal opinion, what they think.
We're playing the role of D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio.
So we thinking like we're D'Amico.
Yeah, or Caserio. You pick whomever you want.
Okay.
Xavier Hutchinson or John Mechie. If it comes down to those two guys, if they've made the decision, we got to have Robert Woods. You know, there's a little veteran presence there. We got to have Noah Brown. You know, we like what he's done. He's a good blocker, tough guy, all that. If it comes down to, all right, D'Amico, Nick, Xavier Hutchinson, or John Mechie, who goes? Who stays?
Now, Hutchinson stays for me. Xavier Hutchinson stays for me. That dude, we were just talking about the idea of the contract, right? The contract is comfortable. There's some control on it. I think he still has, he would still have three seasons, including this one, on the contract. And then also, we were talking about finding the balance between production, known production, and potential. And I feel like he exists in that perfect sweet spot of known production and potential. And I like Xavier Hutchinson, what he brings to the table, the control, the, you know, the feeling of still being there. Yeah, Xavier Hutchinson would be the guy. And then, unfortunately, John Metchie would then go.
I agree with you, man. I will go with Xavier just for the simple fact that he do a lot more right now. He plays special teams. He give you decent production. I do think John Metchie's upside is way higher. I just don't know how high it could get being on this team currently. Yeah. And I also think you could probably get a little more for John Metchie via trade.
Yeah.
Second rounder. There's a story there that maybe people think they can recuperate, you know, or resuscitate or whatever.
They could, especially if it's a lot of teams that's, you know, calling about them. You probably could drive the price up a little bit. I don't know if you could drive the price up for Xavier Hutchinson.
Keep in mind, I thought going into Saturday, Xavier Hutchinson was on the team, and this decision was going to be Metchie and someone else. And it still may be. He may be a lock on the team. But, man, he played a lot Saturday. Xavier Hutchinson was on the field a lot. I mean, that's that's a sign and not a good sign. I think I'm going to still say Xavier Hutchinson, though. If it does come down to these two, just because of what you guys both said.
713 on the text line says, Metchie is just now at the very, very beginning of stud playmaker part of his game, and he's going to keep improving. He said they don't see that stopping, so they go with Metchie over Hutchinson.
But how much do you think you'll see Metchie on the field?
That's a great point, right? Like, because reps are important.
You're going to see the big three for sure.
Yeah.
So I wonder how much are you going to get that? So I just don't know if you could get that potential that we
And we're going to get a heavy dose of reversism from Xavier Hutchinson if he makes this squad. He's a bigger dude. They like him in the reverses. All right, let's say it isn't the rookies that they're going either or on. They're going either or Noah Brown or Robert Woods. One's got to stay, one's got to go.
Yeah, this one also feels easy, and maybe I'm doing the thing where I'm putting my brain, I'm trying to like get into the brain of someone else as opposed to just existing myself. But I feel like it's Noah Brown. Like, injuries be damned. It feels like that's a dude that knows this system so well and plays in it incredibly well. And, of course, you've seen what the high water mark can be. And that is like stepping in and being a focal point of a passing game for a game or two.
Yeah.
And that's huge for a guy that can play a role, knows how to play the role, is a veteran guy, but then also can step in and be that, have that height. Not saying that Robert Woods can't do that, but it feels like Noah Brown can do that here and has that comfort. I'd probably go Noah.
Yeah, I'm going to go Noah Brown too. I feel like I could trust Noah Brown a little more, especially after last season. Because I didn't know what to expect from Noah Brown. I didn't think he was going to be, you know, give us that production that he did.
He had a couple big games.
Yeah, he had some really good games.
Yeah.
And I just think Robert Woods, I think he's in a place where he could possibly be shipped to like a Pittsburgh or something like that. You could probably get something for that. I don't know what you could get for Noah Brown, but I think production-wise, I think he'll fit perfectly.
All right, well, we're unanimous so far. I'm with you on for the same reasons you guys spoke about. Here's one. He's kind of like, I've been talking about Ollie Gay, you know, the end, and I don't know what to make of it. He seems to be really in their good graces. Another one that we haven't really mentioned that much at all is Marcus Harris, number 59 in your program, just like D'Amico Ryan's and Kenyon Green's old number, has made a bunch of plays and gotten a bunch of buzz. Marcus Harris or Kurt Heinisch, who had some moments last year on the defensive front?
This is actually really tough for me. I kind of want to go Kurt Heinisch. It seems like they really like him. And Heinisch is a dude that I've, again, in my limited watching of the preseason this year with these Texans.
Yeah.
I've seen him at times do things that I found interesting, and that's a name that jumps to me. Harris, I don't recall having those moments necessarily in the same way. And, of course, that could just be a blind spot for me. But Kurt Heinisch, I know that I've heard it as, like, he is liked by this organization, and I've seen it. So that makes the decision for
me. Yeah, I'm going to go with Kurt Heinisch, too, man. He been in the system already. He was kind of productive last year. And I would probably stick with what I know at the moment. I know what Kurt Heinisch can.
I think when we get the final 53 and we get all the cuts today, we're all going to be saying, damn, Marcus Harris made the squad.
Okay.
I think he's going to make the squad.
Okay.
I think they like him a lot. I think he's a pixie dust candidate with with D'Amico Ryans. Here's another interesting one. So I'm saying Marcus Harris.
As we're doing a little either or on cut down day, what do we think the decision should be between pairs of Texans?
If it comes down to these guys, Jeff Okudah or Mike Ford? By the way, our guy B. Skotska, he's a big Mike Ford fan. He'll be joining us in about 25 minutes. Okudah or Mike Ford?
See, this is where it get tricky. I would probably, I feel like everybody would say Jeff Okudah because, you know, where he was drafted, he was okay. He was probably, I would probably say he was a bust just from where he was drafted, but he's all right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. But at that point, I'm like, is it cheaper keeping Mike Ford? So that's where I kind of stand. I would probably keep Jeff Okudah. I keep Jeff Okudah.
It definitely would be cheaper keeping Mike Ford. And you know what? We gonna be cheap for it. Let's go Mike Ford. And you know why I say that?
Yeah.
I don't think that there's anything particularly stand out about either of these guys when we talk about a deaf cornerback. It's, again, I've already mentioned it, and I probably will mention it too many times today.
Mm-hmm.
That is the spot where I'm like, beyond your starters,
I agree.
Let's go find something, because as of right now, nothing I've seen has been particularly incredible.
I 100%
agree. And so, save me a little bit of money on that cap.
I'm with you too. So we've only varied on one of the first four. There's one more for you.
And just before we move along, there is people on the text line, a couple of people that are like, no, Marcus Harris is a dog, Harris over Hines.
No, I think Marcus Harris makes the squad.
Okay.
I really, and we hardly have spoken about him. MJ, safety position, MJ Stewart or Lonnie Johnson Jr.?
I think I'd probably go Lonnie Johnson.
Dude, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He finally found his role, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I'd go Lonnie Johnson Jr. too.
Me too.
So no MJ Stewart, who's actually, you know, he's been around, done a few things here and there.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Is Des King the safest CB3 that they could keep right now?
Nah, he's a nickel. And I would worry about Desmond King making the squad.
Wait, hold on. We might got some updates, because Aaron Wilson let us know that Quintez Cephas, the wide receiver, is out. And as of 3 minutes ago, that question no longer necessary because Desmond King being released by the Texans for a second time.
Wow, that's what I thought.
Well, this is the really spicy one. You want to say it? Because this is
No. This is in my wheelhouse. This is one of the things that I have been asking and talking about. And we might dig into this here a little bit in a second. Because I think this is the biggest decision that the Texans have had to make at the position. Starting fullback Andrew Beck released.
Yep.
Per Aaron Wilson.
So let's talk more about the Andrew Beck release on the other side. But then also, it's still question the daytime. We'll try and find a way to get both of these in at the same time. Mm-hmm. What player were you dead wrong about? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
Oh boy. We are in
it. That's a lot, man.
Look, Sean Pendergast, when I walked in the studio today, was like, you guys are going to have a lot of stuff. And it's really happening here as we start, or as we're headed towards the 11 o'clock hour. We haven't even hit the 11 o'clock hour yet.
No.
And we've got all sorts of news. So I mentioned before we went to break, Andrew Beck is being released. The fullback for the Texans, or at least he had been the fullback for the Texans, now is released. He was dealing with a calf injury all camp. We mentioned Skoranek. We mentioned Quintez Cephas. Also, Desmond King, the second, released. But one of the big ones, as we were just talking about, we're starting to get to one of the big spots that we've looked at. Fullback is one of those. Wide receiver is another one. We just talked about who you would take if you were deciding between the veteran backups, Noah Brown or Robert Woods. At least for the moment, the decision is Robert Woods, because Noah Brown has also will be released by the Texans. And so that's a really interesting one. Do you want to talk fullback? Do you want to talk wide receiver first? Because both of those, super, super intriguing.
Well,
moves.
I think they both fit in with the question of the day, too. Let's not bury that, because we like to do it every day. What were you totally wrong on?
Yeah, what player were you dead wrong about? And I imagine this might lean a very heavy Texans, but, you know, if you want to get in there and talk about, you know, the time that you were really wrong about was it Derek White or something? Like, just someone that you were like, hey, I thought that this guy was going to be great in the NBA or in MLB or what have you, but... Yeah. Yeah, man, there was a couple of guys that, I guess, for we'll throw Clint and Ron, the drive guys, in here. Because,
yeah, because I haven't been wrong on any of these yet.
Of course you haven't. Why would you be? You know,
I mean, you know, hey, if we're being honest.
You guys been wrong. Why are y'all on the radio?
I did mention Noah Brown. I did mention Desmond King. I did mention the fullback. The fullback thing is what I'm most intrigued by.
Let's start there, then.
And so let's start there. Sorry, Clint. Sorry, Ron. But you guys did say Noah
Love
Brown
you guys.
Was a lock. But I knew something was up. Now, I didn't. I'm kidding. I'm not that arrogant. I mean, we all have a little arrogance, but I'm kidding. I just knew something was up at fullback because the third preseason game, second for most teams, but the third preseason game, I came in here and we were talking and I said, I just kind of kept a mental loose note of how many times did they use a fullback with the first team offense? Because I didn't see it a lot in training camp. I saw Cade Stover running some, you know, fullback and motion into fullback and out of fullback. I saw, several Brevin Jordan.
Yeah.
British Brooks.
Yeah.
The dude with the massive thighs, which might fit that role. Never saw an actual by trade, by definition, fullback with the first team in practice. So the third preseason game, I kept a mental note. Never saw him.
Yeah.
Never saw a true fullback with the first team off. So I kind of, and again, I'm exaggerating when I said I knew that. I had a hunch something was up at fullback.
It was an area of intrigue.
Yes.
Yeah.
So something is up at fullback.
Yeah. And I mean, if you know this system that's kind of deviated from the Shanahan system, all these different places, you know that the fullback factors in greatly. Mm-hmm. And maybe you could have said in the preseason, well, we're using vanilla offenses, so maybe they're not getting into all of those things. But no, you expected the fullback to be a part of it.
Some reps, right?
Right. You got to get some of it, especially as they were running all sorts of different people into that spot, mm-hmm. right? As you mentioned, they were trying a lot of different people in that spot in the absence of Andrew Beck dealing with that calf injury. But I do want to go to this D'Amico cut from yesterday, his press conference, as he met with the media, right, about this time, in fact. And he was asked directly how important the fullback position is to the roster and can it be replaced by tight end. And his answer, I thought, was illuminating mm-hmm. and probably we should have known that Andrew Beck might not be on this roster.
With that position, right, called the fullback tight end position, right, I think is very, very flexible, right? And it's dependent upon, right, who you're facing, right, and the defensive structures that you're facing that particular week and how do we gain an advantage by utilizing that position, right, to whether it's to create angles in the running game or to create a mismatch in the passing game as well. So it's all predicated on who you're playing that particular week and does that position provide an advantage for you. So I think there are times, you know, and there are games certainly when you can utilize that position to your advantage.
He told us.
So if that position is going to be kind
of that we weren't listening.
It's a little bit of a part-time position.
Yeah.
Why pay a full-time price for it, right?
Yeah.
By the way, Troy Harrison released too, but he might be able to come back on the
Wow. Okay, so there are no fullbacks.
Yeah.
That's exactly what
he's eligible to come back on the practice squad.
No, yeah. But I mean in terms but, of yeah. like all right, so that was the hunch I had that they would not carry a true fullback. It does not appear they're going to carry a true fullback. But D'Amico told us. He literally at the beginning I said tight end fullback. He didn't say full. They asked him about the fullback position. Yeah. And he said tight end fullback. We weren't listening.
And so
we didn't hear him.
Before we talk about the wide receiver a little bit more, I do want to cap this off with fullback or tight end fullback as maybe we need to call it now. Do you think that him saying that then makes it so that this is where the fullback responsibility is just going to be kind of thrown over to the tight end room? We've all seen it in this day and age of work where everybody's companies are trying to save money. And so they get rid of some jobs and they take those responsibilities and they just now this is a part of your responsibility.
Yes.
Is that something that's going to be spread out or do you think that's going to just be a part of the tight ends? Because there's questions about could Damian Pierce as a big bruiser do some of that fullback stuff, which we haven't seen him do, but could British Brooks maybe remain on this team in order to help do some of those things?
Yeah, I think both of those are very intriguing. If they keep Damian Pierce, and I could see, well, British Brooks would be a fullback. He's one that has played there, but he's a running back by trade. If they keep Damian Pierce, they might be saying, all right, we're going to keep you. But because of your style of play and the way you like to, you know, to bang in there, you're going to have to line up at fullback.
So, don't we all?
We all do. Could you see that? I could see where maybe, I mean, he's not an enormous guy, but in this offense, you're also coming out of the backfield. You know, you're chipping guys and going to the next level. Kind of what you talked about in the game that, you know, you had an issue with, on that one running play.
Yeah.
So, but Damian Pierce not the best blocker though, man.
No, he's not the best pass blocker.
Yeah, he was kind of messing up with that last.
So that could affect season. It. No, I think realistically it's going to be Stover, Brevin Jordan, maybe if they keep British Brooks a little. British Brooks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Noah Brown has been released as well, and that was kind of really intriguing because wide receiver is the room that we were trying to get a feel for, and it felt like there was a few permutations of the way they could handle this.
Yeah.
They could go with vets and know what the production was. They could kind of split it with when we're talking about backups, I want to be clear, right? Obviously, your starters are as your starters are. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, all solidified. Ink it. Write it in gold if you want to.
Yeah.
Right? But the three or four wide receivers after that, do you go with vets, meaning Brown and Woods kind of stay and they are able to solidify that because they have a level of production and level knowledge and stay there? Do you go with just youth, with maybe Mechie, Hutchinson, and, you know, have just the youth and the upwards potential of that there?
Yeah.
Or do you kind of try and find a mix? And as of right now, you take you go away from just the pure veteran spot because Noah Brown, who knows this system pretty well, he does all of the little things, and he has the possibility to pop, although he has injury issues, is no longer on this roster.
Yeah, look, they're telling us that too. So let's not miss on this cue. They're going young. They're going young. Xavier Hutchinson is on this squad. If I had to make a bet today, John Mechie is also on this squad. If I had to make a bet right now, because Noah Brown is out, there's your veteran presence as you talked about. Ben Skoranek is out. That's another one. Robert Woods is on the market reportedly.
Do we know if he's on the market? If there's interest from him,
interest from the Steelers? Yeah, that might be a better way to put it. Cephas is out.
Yes.
So that really only leaves Xavier Hutchinson, John Mechie, and Robert Woods, because Steven Sims is kind of in his own category. You know, he's a returner and all that. So, yeah, they're going young. If I had to bet right now, you're going to have Hutchinson and Mechie on the squad.
Man, I was wrong on that one, man. Speaking of being wrong, I was wrong on that.
Now, Mechie could still, don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I'm just saying what they're telling us so far.
Yeah, I ain't think they was going to release Noah Brown, though. I thought he was safe.
Reggie, that's big.
Yeah. Do you feel big? Especially because, like, look, we could talk about what it means for the roster itself. Sometimes the decisions that are being made tell you a little bit about the decision-making process of the people that are making them. And I thought that this roster cutdown day would be real interesting to get a little bit more insight into how Caserio works, how D'Amico Ryans works. And I already was putting up like what might be a demerit with the Damian Pierce thought process, but you've seen the ways that they've also been kind of progressive in their thinking. Moving on from Andrew Beck and maybe moving that position to a little bit more flex to give them an opportunity to have another spot.
Yeah.
Not feeling like they are handcuffed to the production and the capabilities that Noah Brown has to maybe go for the upside of young, talented potential. Do you feel like you're seeing a little bit of a getting more insight into the way that they think?
Yeah. I think exactly what you're talking about. I think they're banking on the upside, which we talked about in the first segment of these two young guys. Keep in mind, I say Noah Brown, that's big. It is. He had back-to-back games last year for this coordinator with this quarterback on this team of 6 catches, 153 yards, and 8 catches, 172 yards.
Yeah.
And huge. He's cut.
They signed him back this year.
And he's cut.
Yeah, signed him back this year.
Or maybe I made too grand of a ordeal of the decision-making process. Maybe the decision-making process is just availability is an ability that they care about a whole bunch. Because you notice some of the guys we're talking about here also.
They all played.
They played, but then also there's guys that had, like Andrew Beck had injury issues, and Noah Brown has injury issues. Like maybe that ultimately is something that not to overlook in the course of this.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think we're seeing the transition happening during our show right before our very eyes here, and there's more to come. I can guarantee you that.
So no official fullback on this roster. It'll help the help them maybe with the lost spot, as Cody Stutes is mentioning on Twitter rather. Maybe they do keep 3 quarterbacks. Maybe that's part of what they're doing here.
I'm on an island on that, but I still feel that.
Okay, man, more to come over the day because they're still not at 53 just yet, but we're getting a little bit of insight into what this looks like. Coming up next, it's 11 o'clock hour, which means we'll have B. Scott in studio to talk about all things Texas, but also we'll go around the NFL, talk about some of the notable cuts, as well as, is Dalvin Cook really still got it? We'll talk about that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.